Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So is this the Florida Gators' year? Finally their year to win the SEC? What the heck has happened to Michigan and Penn State? Up is down in the Big Ten. Should they even be playing college football during the pandemic? Does it feel like a real season right now? We're going to discuss all that and more with Tom Jones, a longtime columnist of the Tampa Bay Times, my former radio partner, now with the Poynter Institute on this edition of Sports Day Tampa Bay. I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times, along with producer Steve Versnick. Okay, folks, we're going to be having our very popular mailbag segment tomorrow. We'll answer any of your questions that you might have on the Bucks, the Rays, the Bolts, college football, you name it. Bring it to us, and we will attempt to answer that. All you have to do is submit those questions online to us on Twitter if you'd like. We're at SportsDayTB, at SportsDayTB. You can reach me on Twitter at NFLStroud, or my email address is rstroud@tampabay.com. All right, Tom Jones joins us now from the Poynter Institute of Media Studies. And Tommy, college football is, it's underway. For some conferences, it's just barely underway, like the Pac-12. And
Are you watching college football?
I know
you love college football. We both love college football. Back when I was a sports columnist and you were covering pro football, like Saturdays was our sanctuary day. It was like the day we could,
yes, it was.
And there were a lot of Saturdays you and I would travel to whatever city the Bucks were playing, and we would plan our day around going to dinner and going to lunch, going to dinner, watching college football. We loved it. And at home, when it's home, it's a great day.
Home Saturdays are the best.
Turn on college game day at 10 o'clock.
I have to watch college game day.
Turn off the TV when the Hawaii game's over.
But BYU. Yeah.
Right. But are you watching this year?
I am. And it's been tough because, as you know, Wisconsin, they finally found a quarterback that played one game. I think the guy went 19 out of 20 and everybody got COVID. And started with him. I believe he was the super spreader. So they have canceled their last two games. Now, I think they're supposed to play the Jim Harbaughs this week. I don't know. Harbaugh said, I think we're playing. We haven't heard anything. I haven't gotten a phone call from anybody. So I don't know where that stands. So that's been hard in the Panu Stroud household. But, early on when there wasn't much college football, you know who was on every week, and they still are? My school, Arkansas State. And they're not good. They're not good. They have one really good player, but they're not good, and they're on every week. I've been watching Florida. I've been watching
Arkansas
some SEC
State
games.
College football is like sort of like the Korean Baseball League. It's when there was no other college football
to
watch.
See.
Yeah, there's nothing else to watch. You like.
Well, first game was like Arkansas State and Memphis, I think, was one of the first college football games broadcast. And I don't mean like ever, but like this year. So I have been watching. I've been watching Florida. Well, let me ask you this, because I had this conversation with Matt Baker, and I think we kind of agreed or not. But so a couple weeks ago, they're playing Missouri before they beat the snot out of Georgia. They're playing Missouri. And there's this thing that, you know, Trask got hit late, got hit badly under the chin, whatever, okay? Could have been targeting. You know, you see these plays happen, right? You're not happy about it. I mean, usually you get a bunch of offensive linemen that start diving on the guy or something. And Dan Mullen kind of goes out there and loses his stuff for a while, you know? Like he wants a piece of the other coach, maybe? And then he's going off and he comes back, and then he's going off the field and he starts inciting the crowd, which is a socially distanced crowd. I mean, he wound up beating Georgia, and it looks like he'll go to the SEC game. But I'm just thinking, like, I know college football is all about the coaches, right? They're the spectacle. They're the show. What'd you make of all that? Were you okay with that? Were you okay
no.
with sort of the – no?
I'm not okay with any of that. And I tell you what I've always – I'll give you a phrase, Rick, that has always bothered – that always comes up when these situations happen. And everybody in Tampa Bay will remember it, the shut your yap.
Yes.
And that was the John Tortorella when he was – and there was a lot of reasons he did that. He was trying to take sort of the
– deflect the pressure.
Yeah, deflect the pressure off his own team. But he was actually really fired up too. And that was directed at Ken Hitchcock, who's right. the head coach of the Philadelphia Flyers. And the whole problem that Tortorella had was that he was talking to a player. Ken Hitchcock was talking to a Lightning player, and John Tortorella was shut your yap. And I'll give you another example, Rick, that you remember very well, which was when Warren Sapp and Mike Sherman was the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, yeah. and
put
they
a jersey
got into
on. Yeah.
And so he said, put a jersey on. And
but
so
that was Sherman actually coming over because he had taken out, I think the guy's name was Clifford, maybe, the offensive lineman, and hurt him.
Right.
And they changed the rule. It was a legal block at that time, but it was like a crackback after an interception. And Sherman came across the field, and that's when Sapp started yelling at him, put a jersey on.
Right. And the whole point of that is if you're a coach, if you don't have a jersey on, and then you shouldn't be out. Don't go out on the field. Don't go on the field. Don't yell at people. Don't incite other people to hurt, or incite the crowd. I have a big problem. Look, I have no problem with a guy standing up for his own team, for yelling at the referees all you want. You want to yell at the other coach after the game. I don't love it, but I don't have
as big
a problem.
But see, it seemed like it escalated, though, too, when you see your head coach out there doing, kind of being held back from something.
Right.
Then the rest of the players kind of go, okay, we're going to go. Let's go. We're going, And so it was almost like, a little proverbial gasoline on the fire there. Like whatever happened initially, you just ramped it up by sort of like
Yeah, you're the coach, man. You got to calm that stuff down.
You're supposed to be pushing guys back towards the sideline, right?
Right.
Not running into the fire.
And I don't condone anybody cheap shots, but here's the thing, Rick, and you know this, you played a lot of sports in your day, is a lot of stuff goes on during the course of a game that not everybody knows about. So I'm not condoning, anybody hitting anybody, but we don't know all the things that led up to that moment that during the course of that game. You can't have your coach going out there inciting problems. I'll give you another example. Was remember the whole Yankee Rays thing where Chapman threw over Brasso's head.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin Kiermaier, after all that, Kevin Kiermaier was talking about Phil Nevin, third base coach of the Yankees, as the guy who's always over there yapping about something.
Yeah.
Players don't like that stuff when a coach, because what is it? So if you're a player on Missouri and you see Dan Mullen coming out there and you got a hold, he's holding you, they're holding him back.
What can I do to him?
What am I going to do to him? Okay, he comes over to me. I'm a 260-pound linebacker.
Right.
And
I could crush you
go. And then I'm a jerk if I hit you. Like, so I had a big time problem with what Dan Mullen did. I get it. You're standing up for your team. I don't, it was a cheap shot or whatever. I get it. But you can't have your coach out there doing stuff like that.
Yeah, and then it was Halloween, right? The Darth Vader afterwards, and it just seemed like he was trying really hard to be the show. And in fact, the next week, they beat a pretty good Georgia team that doesn't have a great quarterback, but. And now it looks like for all the world, they're going to get the SEC title game and probably get Alabama, I would imagine. But I will say this, that Kyle Trask might end up breaking Joe Burrow's record. This guy, how many touchdowns are you going to throw? What an offense you have. And their defense was good enough. Georgia's not very good on offense, but man, Georgia was supposed to be really good on defense. They lit them up. I think they win the SEC, Tom.
Over Alabama?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I like Alabama's quarterback too, though.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Alabama's quarterback is pretty good. I don't know what the final four. So if they would, obviously if they win the SEC,
you could still have two SEC schools. It just depends on the records and stuff.
Right.
But look, we can already say Alabama and Clemson are going to play each other. Would we be that far off? I mean, although Notre Dame threw a monkey wrench in everything, but they'll have to play each other because this year isn't Notre Dame a honorary ACC team?
Yes. Here's the thing I don't understand. Did you watch the Notre Dame Clemson game?
I watched most of it. I will admit I did not see the fantastic finish.
Somebody explain to me why Trevor Lawrence couldn't play. I mean, he's on the sidelines, taking the mask off, talking to guys. Like at that point,
Rona.
I get it. Why is he there then? Like didn't make sense to me. Anyway.
Yeah, I know. But the rules are funny.
No, they are. But going back to my other point, though, Rick, is that I'm having a hard time getting into college football. And I don't know. There's a part of me that feels like
no fans, no pageantry.
No fans, no pageantry. I mean, the fans are what make college sports really so great.
The bands.
It's the one sport that all takes getting used to. No fans, and you've been at games. You've actually been at
games. Oh God, it's horrible. Like if you go to, well, of course, like who's going to go to the game? Like if I say, hey, next time you go to a game with no fans, wait a minute. Only I could say that.
Right.
When you go to a game with no fans, it is not. It is not a football atmosphere at all. Like I've sat in the Trop and they've played inter-squad games. I kind of know what that's like. You can play baseball that way. It's not, even though they wanted even some organ music and some ambient noise. Football, weird. Weird.
And that, not, and so, but it hasn't bothered me on watching it on TV.
Because
as
you
much.
Get the fake sound.
I you guess.
Know that's all network. That's done in a high-tech way. The way they would do it on Madden, and they match what's happening in the action to the oohs and the ahs and the boos.
But I don't, for whatever reason, watching college football has been a little bit harder for me. Now, I'll say this, I've told people this time and time again, that as sports writers, we don't have rooting interest. We don't. There's one team that I sort of semi-root for and that I've never lost my allegiance towards.
Penn State.
And that was Penn State. And they are awful.
They're winless.
They're so bad. They're winless. They got killed by Maryland of all teams, and
you know how I feel about their coach.
Yeah, and I
great recruiter, friend of mine down the street, Frank the Beer Man. Same thing. He talks about him when he loves Penn State, and he goes, but he recruits so well. And I'm like, but he's the worst game day coach in America. I've never seen a guy lose so many like games they should have won.
They should have beat Indiana. Fourth downs. They don't know what they score when they're not supposed to score.
You're not supposed to. Hey, nobody scored. Oh, he scored. Okay.
Yeah, he will find a way to somehow turn a 10-point lead into a 1-point loss in the last 3 minutes of a game. They should have beat Ohio State a couple more times over the last
five years. That one time was it McSorley? He ran McSorley.
Yeah, it was a horrible third down call.
And he had like the running back had rushed for like 4,000 yards.
Yeah, don't give it to Saquon Barkley.
let me think. Saquon Barkley for a yard? Or no, we'll run my 160-pound quarterback. Yeah.
I get that. But here's the thing, Rick. I mean, I don't know. I'm probably saying this because I'm watching Penn State. And Penn State, like, half their, you know, they got their best player, Micah Parsons, the kid who's supposed to be a top five draft pick. He opted out already. They've lost running backs. So it's not really their full complement.
You're Penn State, for God's sake.
I get
sake.
It. But here's the part of me. I watch them. I watch Michigan. I watch the Pac-10 or Pac-12 just started up. It's almost like I'm almost dismissing this season. It's like to me, it doesn't even count. I mean, really? Steve follows Michigan. Like, it doesn't even feel like it's. I mean, it doesn't even feel like it's like. Does this season count? Are we counting it? Are we doing this?
Well, it definitely counts. I mean, I think I think there's some players lost. I think teams that have new quarterbacks are at a disadvantage. Because you didn't have your spring practices and a lot of that leading into it.
Well, you didn't play Akron to open up the first
year. You didn't play the Little Sisters of the Poor. You started right with, league games. And, so I think it's very different, but it counts. I mean, everybody's going through the same thing. So it's not like Penn State or Michigan had to go through something different than Ohio State or Clemson or Alabama.
Here's my other issue with this, Rick. I almost feel a little guilty for watching college football because I don't know we should be playing it. I still feel funny about it. Like we're having, because when it comes to pro sports, those guys are professionals. They can decide whether they want to play or not. I think these college kids don't have much of a choice. I think they have to play. And I almost feel a little guilty that with coronavirus, look at Wisconsin, they're canceling games. Notre Dame had that situation the other day. They've had to cancel a game, I think, right? I just feel weird about it.
Yeah, I saw the other day where in the NFL, like the Patriots, I don't know how many fans they were having, but they're now shutting up the stadium and not letting people in. I think it's weird when you tell the general student body that they can't come to campus or, they can't go to games. But then we've had this discussion about are the players better off at least getting some testing, sort of, having that incentive to stay healthy and do the right things and wear a mask and all that so that your team can continue playing and you're a good teammate versus what would the motivation be if you just said to all the college kids, I don't care who they were, hey, school's out, do what you want, wear a mask, social distance, we'll see you back here and name the day. Do you think that's better than being able to sort of control these? Because you know how controlling to some degree, you know how controlling it can be if you're in a college football program.
Right.
You could lose your scholarship. And there's a lot of things that those guys could do to you that aren't good. And I don't, you know, I mean, knock on wood, so far I don't know of anybody that's gotten real, real sick. Hopefully it doesn't happen. I thought by now it would have. There's been a lot of games canceled. There's going to be more games canceled. That's going to happen in the NFL. This thing is out of control, by the way, Tom.
I mean, It is. I mean, we're talking
numbers. Oh, yeah. My God.
I mean, 1,000 people a day are dying, 100,000 people a day, just in this country.
They're saying it could be in this country. We could be up to, really soon, 200,000 cases a day. Yeah. Think about that.
I know. It's amazing. I think I saw the other day, one out of every
6 million?
One out of every 440 people, something like that, are getting it.
Wow.
Are getting it at this point.
Yeah.
And look, I get this part too, Rick. There are people's lives who are playing college football who are being changed for the better because of this. Like, there were kids who weren't going to get drafted, who are going to have amazing senior seasons or whatever year they're in, who are going to get a look and were like, wow, I didn't know that guy was.
Yep.
I mean, I can't remember all of Jason Pierre-Paul's college career, but I remember as a senior, he went crazy.
He was actually a junior at USF.
Last year at USF,
he played 1 year there, and it was a transfer from a junior college in Kansas. He played
with Devontae
Davis.
His life is different because of that.
Everything changed.
His entire life is
changed. It felt like, by the way, when Jason Pierre-Paul, like if I said, hey, how many sacks did he have that year? What would you say?
I don't know, 13, 15?
I looked it up. It was like 6.5.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was some small. Unless I was looking.
I thought you were
going to
surprise me and go, no, he had 29. I'm like,
no, unless I was looking in the wrong column. But he was really impressive. Like, he ran everybody down. He has these long arms and stuff. It changed his life. You make a good point. And I filtered down to the high school level and think about those kids that lost a spring last year, or those kids that lost, you know, different parts of their sporting year. Because I've said this many times on this podcast. If I don't play my senior year of high school baseball, I'm convinced not only do I not go to junior college and then Arkansas State, I don't know that I go to college, Tom. My life is different.
Sure.
You know? And I worry and wonder about all those athletes that didn't get to play. And the same goes through with college too. You know, there's going to be a lot of guys but to answer your question, nothing is normal in 2020. I mean, just nothing feels the same. Nothing tastes the same, even if you don't have coronavirus. It's just nothing is right. It's a little all off, you know. Hell, even college game day, you know. They got my man at his swimming pool in Orlando.
Right.
What is that? Like, you know, you can't put the funny headgear on there.
I think all these universities and all these conferences are doing the absolute best they can to make sure
everybody's trying to be safe. And,
I don't think they're being careless,
no,
or irresponsible, but
they
just
got a financial stake in it.
Absolutely, yeah, that's what I was getting at. Like, let's not act like they're in it for the good of the game and for the good of the kids. I mean, there's a lot
of
money.
When you hear like they're losing money, they are losing money, but they're not. They're losing the money that they would have put in the bank. I mean, like, they're still getting paid plenty,
right?
You know, everybody but the player. By the way, I don't know. Did you watch that Florida Georgia game at all?
A little,
there was
not
some
as much
gruesome
as
gruesome hits in that thing. There's some guys got really busted up.
Yeah,
I've seen some violence in football this year, man.
No, absolutely, no
carnage.
Yeah, I've covered that game a few times. Florida Georgia. It's a fun game. It's a fun game to cover. Can I give first world sports writer problems here? Worst food ever.
The Florida Georgia game?
Worst media meal in all of football.
Is it Sonny's Barbecue? Because that's what it was.
No, I wish it was Sonny's Barbecue. No, I don't know what it is.
Hot dog hamburger?
But it's in that pan, you know?
Mystery
like
meat?
With the water.
Oh, God. Oh, God. They boil it?
Yeah, I don't
like. Can't boil the hot dogs.
It's like the thing where they get the buns and burgers and they put it underneath it. It's like, And while they're, and they put it in water
Kansas,
while they're.
Cans of Sterno?
No. So, just a side. It's bad.
That is a real world problem, right there.
Yeah, it's like what's like NFL, like Washington, right? Washington.
Well, you
football
know
team.
Yo, they're pretty bad. Yeah.
San Diego, when there used to be a team in San Diego.
Okay, you had to bring up San Diego. So that was, we almost closed Jack Murphy Stadium. I think that's what it was called back in the day. I don't know what they ended up calling it, but we were there. We were there literally. I think there was one more home game.
Right. Me, you, and Greg Allman.
The Bucks were playing. That was the year that Cutter won 5 in a row and ended up 9-7 or something like that. And so we're in San Diego, or Santiago, as they call it, which
is
for something
discovered by the Germans.
Something about a whale. So it, they had the worst. First of all, you know my palate. You know my palate is not. It's not exotic. Okay.
It's very.
Listen, I'm Irish. Most of me. Part of me.
I'm a meat and potatoes guy. So am I, typically.
Normally. Yeah. And occasionally, you know, maybe a whiskey. But
maybe, and a pasta. Maybe pasta.
Maybe pasta. I can do pasta. But I can do, you know, American bistro. Whatever. You know, like I grew up hot dogs, hamburgers, steak. You know,
same with me.
All that stuff. Fish. I like fish. I like, you know, stuff you would find in a restaurant for 500, Alex. Which, by the way, we can talk about Alex Trebek.
Oh, I know.
So, We're in San Diego, which is close to obviously the border,
right.
And so there's a lot of great Mexican, or so I'm told, in that area, restaurants and whatnot.
Yep.
And very often when you go to these stadiums, they try to sample the cuisine. They try to give you a flavor of the city. You know, like in New Orleans, we would get, and I'm not making this up. In New Orleans back in the day, we would get gumbo.
Right.
Kansas City, you would get barbecue. Right? So you get the idea. So they had this Mexican meal. What was it? Was it a burrito? Was it a chimichanga?
I don't know. It was, yes, all of the above kind of mixed together. Like, it was almost like a swirl of Mexican, like, let's just throw all the meat and the cheese and the chips and just sort of...
Yeah, it was like a big...
Make a stew out of it.
Like a cheese ball of stuff. Like, it just was bad. It was just a mound of Mexican...
And it sounds worse than what we're describing it.
Yeah, it was way worse. And it looked
worse. And my palate is... I do like Mexican. This was not good.
It wasn't good. You tried it. I was smart enough to know...
You looked at it like...
If I ate that, I would not make it to the fourth quarter. Like, somebody would have to tell me what happened. So, I didn't eat it.
I don't think we ate breakfast either.
We didn't, and I was starving that day. I was so hungry, and so the only thing I could eat, and boy, you won't find this in many press boxes, red velvet cake. Who in the hell? I mean, like, how does this even come up? Like, okay, Mr. Catering Man, sir. Yeah, right, yeah. This is the San Diego Chargers, right? We got a game at the Murph. Yeah, right. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. Mexican? Yeah, okay, sure. And chimichanga.
The Mexican potpourri stew, yes.
The potpourri stew. And how about a dessert? What kind of cake? Red velvet. Red velvet? Not familiar with that. That's not like chocolate or you don't have like just big, okay, red velvet then. Red velvet cake.
It's funny you remember that.
How could I forget?
Because that's the only thing you ate until we went out to dinner that night.
I was so hungry.
It was not a good day.
But yeah, press box food. You know what was interesting with the pandemic? We've been getting boxes.
Really?
Most places. Yeah.
Box lunch. Raymond James, for those that don't know, it's considered one of the better. That's one of the better meals in the league.
One of the better. Yeah. Maybe the best.
Pretty good.
They had a rule back in the day when they first opened that stadium. The rule was, and they've kind of modified this a little bit, was no hot dogs, no hamburger. We're not doing hot dogs. Like, you can't find them in this press box. Their whole thing was, we're going to have a carving station. Now, anything with carving station is usually pretty good, right? It can be turkey. It can be a big slab of prime rib. It can be, you know, pork, roast beef. They'll bring out the meat, right? And so all that went away, like, because it was COVID. So the first time we went in there, I'm like, And they had box lunches, and it was sandwiches, right? Like, you'd have a variety. Or, like, one day they had kind of a gumbo. Can't even describe really what it was, but it was, like, kind of a rice and thing, meat thing. And this was in a box, and you could pick the box, and you had different choices. So that was it. So I'm thinking, well, you know, football in the 2020. I'm sitting here with a mask. At least I get to pull the mask down to eat.
And I hear, and like, just real quick, well, I can hear everybody out there growing.
Oh, poor baby.
Oh, you got a poor choice, you get free food.
Well, but see, that's the thing. They always talk about the free food. But I was going to compliment them because now we're back to slicing stations, even during the pandemic. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. So, red velvet.
By the way, we're there for like 10 hours. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's the only meal we eat.
Right.
Forever. I got out of that press box the other night. You can appreciate this, Tom. It was 1:40 in the morning.
Yeah, 8:20 start.
Got home at 2. To bed at 2:15.
Just think we were still doing radio in those days. We'd go straight to the station.
Well,
I slept at the station a couple times.
Yeah. One time you slept at the station, yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy life, but... Yeah, so I don't know how we got on this tangent. College football. So,
well, because I was talking about Florida, Georgia, and talking about it was the worst
cocktail party up in Florida, Georgia. My first Florida, Georgia experience. I was covering the Gators, and they were playing there. My first Florida, Georgia game, and I'm going to cover. And they said, "Well, you know, it's hard to find a hotel room." And so I was kind of way out. First of all, the airport in Jacksonville is 100,000 miles away, and we used to fly into Jacksonville. Now I wouldn't even think about it; I always drive. But we used to fly into Jacksonville. So I flew in. I rented a car. I don't know, must have had money flowing all over the place. But ended up at I think it was a Ramada, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, Ramada. I'm not sure.
Oh, by the way, okay, I'm going to tell another story.
It was the greatest hotel. Nothing against Ramada. If you guys would like to do an endorsement deal, I'll tell you how good it was. It was fine hotel. Clean, plastic cups, all that. So what I didn't really appreciate maybe as much as I should have is how much drinking goes on before, during, and yes, way after the game.
Right.
So the game is over. It's late. I don't know what time they started. Maybe 3:30, 4. Like, I'm back at this hotel. It's got to be well after midnight. I'm telling you, the party's just starting at this hotel. These folks were up until 5 o'clock in the morning, and I had to catch a plane like at 6. I had no idea how this works.
That's blue chip. Those are five star tailgaters right there.
Big time tailgaters, and they were coming, and you could see them. Like, there's just like this migration from the Georgia border, and then up from Florida. It was interesting.
No, you mentioned hotels. I just had to mention real quick, okay? Because this, to me, I still think this is the funniest thing that I've ever seen in the last week or two or whatever. But yeah, I don't, and I get it. Like, if you voted for Trump, and I understand. But I don't care, even if you voted for Trump, this was hilarious. That they have this press conference the other day. They're supposed to have it at the Four Seasons. And they have
this happen?
Four Seasons Total Landscaping.
Next to the adult bookstore?
Out there in front of a rototiller or whatever. Like, that, to me, was hilarious.
Tell me how that happened.
I don't know how
that happened. Did somebody say, hey, book the Four Seasons, and they literally booked this place? Is that even... Because at some point, you would drive up there and go, this ain't the Four Seasons. Like... You would either cancel the press conference, right?
Right.
Or you'd go find another hotel someplace, wouldn't you?
Well, and then there was, of course, all kind of like memes on Twitter the other day talking about how the next one's going to be in front of a Ritz Crackers.
There are a bunch of Ritz Crackers behind her, yeah.
Anyway, I just had to mention, because it was so funny. To me, that is so funny. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you voted for. That's hilarious. Anyway,
it's hilarious that actually happened.
Yeah, well, it did. Back to college football.
Back to college football. So,
I'm watching it. I feel a little guilty about watching it. Yeah. I don't. Let me ask you this though, Rick. Let me ask you about your boy Jim Harbaugh. I asked you and Steve both. I mean,
my good friend Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, your good buddy. Yeah, Hawaii buddy.
Jim Wives Harbaugh. Are close. Yeah.
I mean, is he going to make it there, or is this season kind of like, yeah, it's a COVID year, so we're going to kind of not?
Yeah, I mean,
that's what I mean about sort of like, does it count? Are the coaches who haven't bad times this year, James Franklin?
I think you can get.
Are they going to get a pass this year? For this?
Listen, Indiana's winning the Big Ten. Don't tell me everything's normal, okay? I mean, Rutgers is like done second place.
Greg Schiano, Rutgers beat Michigan State, right? Who then crushes.
Curb stomped Michigan.
Michigan. And then they turn around and get clubbed by Indiana. Or no, who'd they play last week?
Iowa.
Yeah.
Get beat 100-0 by Iowa.
The daisy chain thing is hard to figure out in the Big Ten, but I think Indiana undefeated is still the champion. And they get it. Their quarterback is from
here,
Tampa.
Right?
Penix, yeah. Michael Penix Jr.
Penix, yeah.
So the guys that are having a tough go of it, and like James Franklin, he's fine.
I can't tell you about Harbaugh. He's been on Harbaugh for a couple years. Right. Harbaugh, but the problem is, I mean, Harbaugh is just that he can't beat anybody up
any
north.
Good.
Like, can't beat Michigan State. Right. Can't beat Michigan State and has no chance of beating Ohio State. He can never beat Ohio State. I think at some point they get him. But
here's what a lot of these coaches have going for them. How many athletic departments want to pay buyouts.
Oh yeah, that's a big deal now
with
college football.
With the revenues down and no fans in the stands, how many want to pay buyouts when you got to hire another coach?
Scraping that up, yeah.
Now Harbaugh only has 1 year left on his contract after this, so the buyout's not much.
In 2 years, where will Jim Harbaugh be coaching?
NFL,
probably the NFL.
Think so.
I do. I would have never said that because I thought he was going to be at Michigan for life, and he may still be. It's just that it hasn't gone well.
Well, here's what I think's happened with Harbaugh. The game changed, and he's about 4 years behind.
Really? Because he was doing spread option stuff with the 49ers. Yeah,
he was, but he came out to college, and he was trying to do Andrew Luck, Stanford. He never had the quarterback for it.
Yeah.
Now he's starting to adapt his offense, but it's not nearly where Alabama is now, Ohio State, Clemson. It's more progressive than it used to be.
He's still several years behind. He needs explosives, yeah.
Now, how fair is it, though, to like, okay, we're going to judge him on how he does against Ohio State? I got news for you. Nobody beats Ohio State. You know? I mean, that's a tough go.
Michigan teams that did, though, Tommy.
Who else in the country is beating Ohio State? There's like two teams in the country.
No, the Michigan teams were beating Ohio State when John Cooper was the coach, who couldn't coach. He could recruit. He had great athletes. Couldn't coach. But Jim Tressel and Urban Meyer were great coaches. Some of the best ever. Ryan Day seems to be a really good coach.
Yeah, and they're on.
And they have the better athletes. They have better athletes and a better coach. I mean, Ohio State back in the 80s and 90s, Ohio State had better athletes. They just weren't as well coached, and they lost.
I think they have more five. Don't quote me on this, but I think I heard this. They got more five-star recruits than the rest of the Big Ten combined.
Well, and the thing is, if you look at most of the best teams in college football, have great high school programs in their state. You know, if Ohio just takes all the best players from Ohio, they're going to be damn good. Much like Florida, Georgia, Texas, Alabama, tremendous high school programs and athletes. Michigan doesn't have athletes. You're lucky if you get a 5-star out of Michigan, or even a 4-star.
What?
There's not many 4 or 5-star football players coming out of the state of Michigan
the
high school.
Recruiting services are bad up there. That's still good football.
Not nearly what Ohio is, Texas. And so if you're Michigan, Notre Dame has the same problem. There's not enough good athletes in Indiana.
So they have to recruit
nationally, and that's harder to do. You know, Ohio can put a wall up around the state of Ohio, and if they keep most of the best players, they're going to be in good shape. And then you go out, get a couple guys from Texas and Florida and this and add to it. And there's a recruiting advantage for schools like Florida, Alabama, Georgia, you know, Ohio State. You know, when you're in a state that's got huge or high school football, and California's got a lot of great athletes.
Sure,
You know, you're at a recruiting advantage. It's not an excuse. It's a fact of it. And so, if you're Michigan, you've got to do a better job recruiting nationally and getting those guys to go there. Let me ask you guys this.
So, Jim Harbaugh, Michigan may be getting tired of him. Is he getting tired of Michigan, or do you think he would love to stay there forever if he could?
It's hard to tell with him. I mean, I think if you asked him a few years ago, he wanted to stay there the rest of his career, but,
I think his dad's a big influence on it. I think his dad would like for him to stay there. I don't know that, you know, that's ultimately, I mean, I'm not trying to speak for him.
The other thing we've known about Harbaugh is he kind of wears out his welcome everywhere he's been.
Yeah, but college is a little different, I mean it in this sense that you are the king. You are the king in college. Like, you're bigger than the president. But you know,
wear out your welcome with the athletic department and the boosters.
If you don't win.
I mean, and I don't know exactly if that's the case up there. I think if he wants to stay, he will.
Here's what he is.
I mean, this program's still a lot better than it was the 7 years prior to him under Rich Rodriguez and Brady Hoke.
Well, I was going to say, here's what he is. Do you want someone like a Rich Rodriguez, or do you want a celebrity as your head coach? Because everybody knows who Jim Harbaugh is.
Right.
Everybody. If I start listening to college football coaches around the nation, how long before I mention Harbaugh? It's going to be pretty quick.
Yeah, he's top 10, sure.
So, I mean, forget about whether he's one or not. Mm-hmm. Just recognition, you know what I mean? Just somebody that I know.
Yep.
Right? So he's just so damn such a trademark that I don't know. I don't think they get rid of him right away. I mean, anything's possible.
But I could see him walking away, too. He'd be the type of guy I could see if he's tired. I'm not saying he will. I don't know if he's gotten there.
I used to think that, but then when he went to Michigan, I was kind of led to believe that he's there for life. Mm-hmm. Like, if they'll have him. Now, I don't know that they'll have him, but I tend to think he's there for life.
I mean, the name you keep hearing is Luke Fickell.
Right.
Which would be interesting because he played at Ohio State, coached at Ohio State, even was the head coach for a year between Jim Tressel and Urban Meyer when Tressel got booted out in May.
Right.
Before the next season.
Well, he's going to get a top job for sure.
And he's doing a hell of a job at Cincinnati.
Yeah. But that's the one that, I mean, okay, so you brought up a name who's a legitimate candidate. That's the one thing where people always yell about, oh, they need to fire this guy. I'm like, okay, fine. Who are you replacing him with? And I used to hear that all the time about John Cooper when before the Lightning won a Stanley Cup. They should fire John Cooper. I'm like, okay, that's fine. Who are you replacing him with?
If you're Michigan, if you're going to fire Harbaugh, you better know who your next head coach is.
But wait a minute. See, you've always said this, and I always had the biggest argument with you on radio, and I still say this today. Okay, who are you replacing John Cooper with? Excuse me. Who the hell was John Cooper?
Yeah.
Nobody knew who this guy was. Mm-hmm. He was some dude in Syracuse, and before that, he was in Texarkana.
No, it's a fair point.
There's always great coaches. There's, you know.
Well, but he was viewed as an up and coming coach at Norfolk in Syracuse. I mean,
but you know, the general public do. I mean,
sure.
You know, they had.
There's always an up and coming.
Didn't
coach
they go to a Stanley Cup with a guy that no one thought would get fired? What was his name? I forget already.
Guy Boucher.
So
well,
Guy
they
Boucher's,
almost went to the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Went to the Eastern Conference Finals Game 7, lost 1-0 Boston, all right?
Yes.
Right, yeah.
I'll tell you where I was. I was waiting for my son to come back from East Lake. So I'm in the car, and so they fired Guy Boucher, and here comes this John Cooper cat, and I know people in hockey knew who he was. I didn't know who the hell he was, so don't tell me. My point is there is always.
But in college at a Michigan, Ohio State, boosters in the revenue that comes in from boosters is important too. In the pros, that's not as important.
I just always
it's still
think
the boosters.
That,
I mean, the boosters are going to be the ones buying out your coach.
Well,
which
no,
means
because
they want,
the end,
if they're going to
sell the players are the deal, not
well,
the
sure.
coaches.
Well, yeah, but in college, if you're going to buy out Jim Harbaugh, then you're going to the alumni, going, "Hey, we need money to buy him out." Which they're going to go, "Who are you hiring?"
Or you're going to hire the next guy. Yeah,
and if you bring in the guy that no one knows, they're not as going to be as willing to give you that money to buy
him
out.
Unless
it's at a point where, you know, if you're at Rich Rodriguez when you had to let him go, or Brady Hoke where you had to.
Yeah.
You know, but
and that's what I'm saying. Like, you don't have to let Harbaugh go.
No.
I mean, you might be happy, you might be unhappy that he's not beating Ohio State or that he loses every other year to Michigan State.
It's 1-2 at this point.
Right. Mm-hmm. But I mean, let's just say it's a normal year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny. Like, I think a lot about this, Rick and Steve, when we think back about the Jim Levitt days at USF.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim Levitt had a pretty good deal going here. He was winning 8 games a year.
Let me ask you this. What if he had never left? And forget, I'm not going to try to go re-litigate the case and all that.
And him hitting a kid and all that stuff.
Don't know
what
happened.
But I don't think that's why he got fired, to be honest with you.
Well, it might not.
I think he got
fired
because he was only winning 8 games a year. And
only
not,
8
10.
Games. Listen
right,
to what you just
right.
Said.
That's my point. That's exactly my
At
point.
At one point,
that's
they
what
were
say with Jim Harbaugh.
In the nation.
Right. And if I'm Jim Harbaugh, it's people are unhappy, but they're going 9-3, 10-2.
Right.
But it's the two that they're losing. They're like, oh, my gosh, I can't lose.
You got to beat Ohio State every 3-4 years. I mean, you can't go 8 years
or like once.
Them.
You got to beat them once.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know.
No, I get that. But my overall point is that, and the same thing happened, like, I agree with you, Rick, like, as somebody who follows Penn State closely, James Franklin drives me crazy sometimes.
Worst game day.
But I also know that where they were heading before, I mean, Bill O'Brien came in, took over after the whole mess with Paterno.
Hey, you could get him again.
And kept, no kidding, and sort of kept them afloat. But there was a time where, like, at Penn State, we're winning like 9-10 games wasn't enough. I actually think it's pretty good now. Like, I'm happy with it. Now, this year, they're not going to do that. But most years, they're in contention for the big, it usually comes down to a game or two. You know, if they lose to Ohio State or whatever. I just hate to see guys get run off necessarily because, you know. And you're right. You're asking about Jim Levitt. Like, if Jim Levitt had stayed.
Would this program be further along than it is now? Or would it be
a
consistent winner?
I think they would. I think Skip Holtz ran it into the ground. I think they caught lightning in a bottle for a year with Flowers. And Willie Taggart. And now they're back to the Skip Holtz days again, basically. And now this Jeff Scott's trying to figure out how to rebuild it.
I think he'll be a good coach, but it's going to take him several seasons.
Right. Now, if Jim Harbaugh or Jim Leavitt were still here, I mean, would they win 10, 11, 12 games? Would they be UCF? I don't know. But they wouldn't be where they are now, I don't think.
It's interesting. I don't know, a professor to know either. You were talking about Michigan a while ago about when they used to win, and you know, some of the coaches like, so Lloyd Carr used to beat Ohio State, and he didn't know whether he should play Tom Brady or Drew Henson. So how smart was that guy?
Well, but he was going up against John Cooper. Like I said, John Cooper could recruit. He couldn't coach. I said it for years in that rivalry. If Ohio
that
State
was one of the by the way, that Ohio State, like I went up one time the year that, I don't know, I was doing the NFL instead of the Bucs or whatever in 95 and had my son and I was going through some
that
of
that. That was Eddie George won the Heisman that year, but Bianca Patuca ran for 313 yards in that game.
Yeah, they went up there to, they played Notre Dame for the first time in 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that damn team, I mean, you talk about star power. Oh my God, the players on that team. I mean, that had to be like Eddie George, right?
Yep. David Boston.
David Boston, the wide receiver. God, I should be able to name like five or six. Like, was Galloway on that team?
Might have been.
It might have been Galloway. I don't know. 95? Yeah. It could have been Galloway. Anyway, they were loaded, and they hadn't played Notre Dame in 100 years, and Notre Dame was okay. And it was Keith Jack. Like, that was such a big time. They had so much talent on that football team. I was like, how does Ohio State get all these guys?
Terry Glenn was on that team.
I don't think they won a national title.
No, they didn't. They didn't that year. Eddie but George won the loaded. Heisman that year.
Yes.
Because Michigan beat them in the last game. Michigan won on the
Michigan, and that was a freaking all-star. I don't think I've seen a better college football team.
Sean Springs was on that team. Going through the roster real quick here.
Yeah.
Mike Vrabel. Luke Fickle was a player on that team. Orlando Pace, offensive lineman.
Now I just feel old. Now you're just trying to make me.
Now
old.
You're running up to score.
Yeah. He's a Hall of Famer.
But I always said about those teams, Antoine Winfield Sr. was on that team.
Jesus.
If Ohio State Michigan.
Wait a minute. I covered the kid's father?
Yeah.
I didn't even know this.
If Ohio State Michigan was played in October, Ohio State would have won a lot more of those games. Because I think as the year went on, Michigan got better because they were better coached. Ohio State had the talent. They didn't get better all year.
Yeah.
They were just a lot of talent out there making a lot of plays. But as the season goes on in college, particularly, better coached teams can win later in the season. Yeah, early in the season, talent wins.
To have a rivalry, you got to have both teams win. You can't just have it one-sided. And it's not a rivalry.
Depends which side you're on.
Well, okay. I suppose.
But you know what's interesting, though, when you talk about getting, like, if we talk about getting rid of coaches or whatever. I mean, look at Florida and just – sort of the revolving door they had since Spurrier left. Mm-hmm. And you look at a guy like, okay, Urban Meyer, I think he can coach at this level. I mean, he'd come from a couple small places, went to
Bowling Green, Utah. Yep.
And Utah. You bring him in and like, okay, he was clearly could coach. But then you look at a guy like Will Muschamp, like he had a resume coming in. He was the next hot guy. You brought him in, didn't work. Jim McElwain, you could almost look at what he did, Colorado
he won
State.
He went. How about at Florida? He won 10 games twice. Right. No one even noticed.
But you bring him in, it's like, didn't work. So you brought in guys. Mm-hmm. At some point, you're taking risks. Like if Michigan were to let go of Jim Harbaugh right now, and you hear Luke Fickle. Yeah, I think Luke Fickle would work. I've heard P.J. Fleck. I've heard that name. I think it would work, but you don't know. I know what I got in Harbaugh, at least. Just...
You got a celebrity coach.
Celebrity coach who can't beat Ohio State. Well, but nobody beats Ohio State. That's my point. Who's beating them?
Yeah, he needs to. And the thing is Jim works it really hard. And if he calls you, and see, some people are like, well, is he getting too old to relate to young players? No, he's not. He can relate to anybody still. You know, he's got young kids himself. He's perfectly relatable. It's just, he just hadn't put it together for whatever reason. Like, I don't know if it's his coaching staff. That's the other thing. Like, you got to understand how important those coaches are in at every level, but particularly college. Because if you don't have the right guys, man, you know, you can't do everything. There's just so much.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns.
Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
What's going on?
Let me ask you about another coach who I think is a really good coach. I don't think they're going to win a national championship. I don't think they'll ever win a national championship. I don't know why I say that, but I don't think they will, even though they have a good team this year. Brian Kelly. Is Brian Kelly still a pretty young guy? I don't know that – does he stay at Notre Dame for the rest of his life, winning
I don't think so.
11 games, going to Final Fours?
He might have to, Tom. Like, I think Brian Kelly has done everything except put a sign in his yard that says, please get me out of Notre Dame. That's what I think.
And is he hoping NFL teams drive by and see it,
yes,
or other colleges?
No, NFL. Yes, NFL. I can't explain why. There was an opening, I think, after maybe Dirk got fired or maybe it was Dirk, where I blindly got a call from a media buddy of mine in Chicago, and he's like, hey, I was just at Notre Dame. I'm just telling you, I had a conversation with a guy over there. Like, you know, this is completely off the record, so I don't know if it was true or not. I was like, Brian Kelly, you know, he's either going to be or he is considered a candidate for the Bucs job. And I ran all that leads out and turned out they hadn't even talked to Brian Kelly. But there was a headhunting firm that maybe the Bucs had hired that was going around trying to identify potential college coaches that might make that skip to the NFL. And I've just always felt like he's going to go to the NFL and that, you know, he's just one national title away from getting that opportunity. I'm not sure
it's ever going to happen at Notre Dame, but
yeah,
they strike me as
couldn't it happen this year though. I mean, they'd beat Clemson without Lawrence, but I mean,
yeah, you had to go to overtime. I guess.
Yeah, well, it counts.
They have the same recruiting issues that like Michigan and other schools and states that just don't have the players, and it's hard for them.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, you have to recruit nationally, which is a lot harder than, you know, putting a wall up around your state.
Maybe that's a good job. I could, if I'm a college football coach and I can coach at Notre Dame for 30 years, win 10 games a year.
You also have tougher admissions there, too. So there's a lot of players
they
can't
recruit.
And they
seem to understand that. Like, their boosters, I know they want to win a national championship, but they seem to understand why, if you don't win at all, why you don't win at all, you know. So, I've always thought that here's a guy that might get a look at some point at the NFL level. Seems like a pretty good coach and seems like a decent guy. I don't know.
Well, he's done it at several places, too. Cincinnati before. You know, he took a perfect season in Cincinnati into the Gator Bowl or the Sugar Bowl against Florida back in 2009.
Right.
And that's when he went to Notre Dame. And he did it. Well, it was one of one of the directional Michigan schools before that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember which one, but.
What about, and before we go, Rick, let me ask you about two coaches. Let me ask you about our guys, Raheem and Dirk. What's their futures hold?
Raheem's
going to be a head coach again someday, right?
I hope so. I hope he gets that chance. He's doing a pretty good job, you know, as an interim guy. He should be 4-0. They blew a lead in his second game, but they're 3-1 since he took over, and they're playing better. They tried to blow a game on Sunday, but Matt Ryan had like a perfect rating. Look, there's talent on that team. There really is. And, you know, Raheem is not the 32-year-old, you know, guy that, you know, would
– one of the guys.
One of the dudes would go out and drink and have dinner because he was a young man himself. And, you know, when you go to 717 North or whatever, you see a lot of your guys out there, you know, out in Howard and different places. So he would always get this, you know, sort of, you know, hey, the coach is, you know, out partying with. And there was some of that. I just think it was just they went to the same places at times because Raheem was young himself. In fact, some of his players, including Ronnie Barber, was older than him, and he hung out with Rondé. However that went down, and it was bad on the GM side, bad on the owner side, so, you know, he lost his gig. He was only 32 when they hired him. I don't know that he gets the Atlanta job. I know Rich McKay a little bit, and I know that it probably pained him to fire Dan Quinn because all things being equal, you talked about other jobs. The first thing that happens when you fire your head coach, the game plans get worse, not better, because all those guys in that building, they know what? I'm fired too. Unless you're hiring somebody on the staff, and you know, that's somewhat rare. It happened here in Tampa and other places, but, you know, they start looking for jobs. I mean, that's what everybody with the Atlanta, and that's what's so impressive about Raheem is doing. everyone seems to kind of still be doing their job. And I do think he'll get another interview, and I think he's earned it, you know. They still got to play Atlanta twice, man. Those are not gimme games at all.
Dirk? What's Dirk's future hold?
I mean, Dirk's a play caller. I don't think Dirk will be a head coach again. He told me he wasn't going to coach at all. And right. Then somebody said, how about $3 million? He goes, okay. And he was still getting, by the way, he was still getting paid by the Bucks. So that $3 million became $7 million or thereabouts. So when you get the double dip, you know what I mean? All of a sudden it's like, yeah, you know, I remember we had that nice condo out in Buckhead. We'll probably still get that again, can't we? Sure, for a couple of years. Okay, let's do it. It's a good play caller. Didn't help them in a couple of games early this year. Hurt Dan Quinn. Might be one of the reasons he's fired is that they had big leads, and rather than just run the clock out and win the game, which should be the object, Dirk threw the ball a little bit, and no clock ran off, and then lo and behold, the comeback happens, and so you're standing there going, well, and of course, all he can say is, well, we put up 37, we should have won, but yeah, I don't see Dirk becoming a head coach again, but Raheem, yeah, maybe.
That's too bad. I miss Dirk.
No, you don't.
I don't. I'm kidding.
I don't understand. You two crazy kids didn't get along.
Didn't get along at all with Dirk.
And it was from from Jump Street. It was like the first preseason game he won.
He did not at all. And the funny thing was, like, he and I got off on a bad start, and I think he confused something you wrote with something I wrote. I'm pretty I'm pretty sure of that.
I don't know what you're talking about. I got a long gray with him.
I'm telling you, I think the very first job, right out of Jump
it's true.
Street,
I wrote
something like about them being boring or something. I don't know.
No, it wasn't boring. Well, here's what I wrote. So they had played two preseason games, and they came out, and you know how the first team only plays a series or two, and then the second game they play maybe a quarter. And all I wrote was that, you know, the way you start games matter. And they had like two of the worst starts. They had a fumble. They had, you know, like just no first downs. Like they just didn't have any energy. They kind of were flat and they got worse. And so they're playing the third preseason game. And I had written this about, you know, seasons have momentums, games have momentum. You got to generate your own momentum, that sort of thing. What do I know? I've only covered football for 30 something years. So the game was over, and they the first 2 weeks they played preseason in his tenure, I don't think they won. And then they played
Cleveland,
who was really bad at that time. It wasn't the Baker Mayfields. It was just Cleveland. And they curb stomped them. Like, they could score 28 in the first half, I think. And all the starters played. It was the third preseason game. So, yeah, that's when I think he confused you with what I
Well, basically, you wrote whatever. Yeah,
I wrote, what about those fast
starts? And I basically was like, yeah, Stroud's right, yeah.
Yeah, but basically.
But then he cornered me after
he cornered
the game.
You and said, and I didn't even know was that fast enough for you? And we're like, huh? Wait,
I
what?
I was like, huh? What?
And then it went downhill. But
yeah, then it went downhill.
Those were the days.
Those were the days, yeah. But I don't. I liked them. I got.
Here's what's funny.
You know who I got along with of all the coaches since Raheem? You know who I actually got along with the best?
Yeah, I know who you're going to say.
Greg Schiano. I got along with Greg Schiano just perfectly fine.
I got along with him just fine, too.
No, he was fine. Yeah. And the day he got fired, remember, he met with all of us individually and had
rented a hotel. He rented a hotel ballroom.
Yeah. And it wasn't the Four Seasons.
Lawn service.
Yeah, right. It was an actual whatever, nice hotel. But man, he met with all of us, and I like I said, I liked him. Now he may have been a like kind of a BSer at times, and sort of told you what you wanted to hear.
No.
Whereas Lovey just had nothing but contempt, you know, or
disappointed. Dirt. I go back to discouraged, disappointed. Now, Tom, don't go leading the charge.
We're going to lead the charge now, Tom. But I did have to say,
the greatest sound bites drops that we had, by the way, back in the day were Lovey Smith. There's no question.
Is this Tom?
Is this Tom?
Well, yeah, but I actually liked Greg of all of them. Greg. Really? I got along with Greg the best.
You didn't get out there much, did you?
For Greg?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Really?
Yeah. That's the calmest then.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just checking.
Oh, I see. That was a rhetorical question. You weren't actually asking me that.
Yeah, no. I think I know. I think I remember. All I know is that last year, man, there's been a couple years I've covered the Bucks that were special. And I always told you this, special good, special bad, and we've had mostly special bad. But I think it was Greg's last year where you had, in no particular order, the captain's vote. Remember that? Josh Freeman, in first game, he sleeps in. And you know, Levante David gets a penalty. They kick a field goal and lose to the Jets. And, you know, Shiano supposedly rigged the captain's vote so that Josh couldn't be a captain. And Josh is going, staying up all night, doing stuff, and ended up on social media. And one thing leads to another. And then MRSA. You know, so we had MRSA, we had Freeman, who then ended up in the inactive suite. I didn't know what that was.
Right.
It was a suite for inactive players, apparently. And then he asked for a trade before Monday Night Football on TV. And then
they ended up on the line.
They had toes on Kellen Winslow. Then they ended up releasing Freeman. And right. it was a crazy year. Newsy year, but crazy year.
Remember the game they played? This was Greg's first year. I think they played the Giants and they had the kneel down where they come flying off.
That might have been either the first game he ever coached or certainly the first road game, but it might have been the first game he ever coached.
Tom Coughlin
just went for the handshake and almost threw a haymaker at him. You know, that was when Greg uttered the famous. I guess they don't watch a lot of Rutgers tape then, because they would watch the tape at Rutgers. We're like, whoa, 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 hey, big man, you're in the NFL now. We don't talk about college.
It's the NFL, not for long if you keep bringing up Rutgers,
And he was so funny because he was like, I'm never talking about that. After today, this is it. I'm not talking about this again, okay? Yeah. We did it at Rutgers. No one gets to determine when the game is over. We're going to fire off the ball. Yada, 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 right? And that's when, you know, Gruden was like, there's a certain etiquette, okay? You know, everybody's debating this. And some people were like, yeah, good for Greg. I mean, you know what?
I think I wrote that. Good for him.
You probably did. And so, as it turns out, nobody wanted to do it anymore. But he was like, I'm not talking about this again. It's the last time. And then he proceeded to do every show during the week.
He went on NFL Network the next day.
He was on NFL Live. He was on SportsCenter. I think he was on the Today Show. It was unbelievable. Like, every time I looked up, it was Greg saying he was never going to talk about it again. And, he was the talk of the town. Tried to put the NFL on its head there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But teams are back to kneeling down, which I like.
Yes.
Because it ends the game quickly. So what do we got? What do we got coming up at pointer.org this week?
Just trying to get to Thanksgiving, man. Just trying to get this. Just trying to get to a break, please.
I don't
take
think
a break.
So when's the inauguration, if there is one?
January 20th. Maybe if there is one, there's got to be one. January 20th. Maybe Trump. No,
right.
It'll be.
There may not be who you think. Yeah.
It'll be Biden. January 20th. Yeah, noon, so January 20th.
2021, January 20th.
70 days away.
I read where Pfizer has a potential vaccine, which
could be a while, though. Could be a while.
Well, could be a while before we get it, or could be a while before.
Could be a while before we get it, before it's widespread use.
Yeah.
But I'm not Fauci, so I don't know all the details, but.
Yeah.
But it might be but it's good news. Certainly good news. I mean, we weren't even convinced up until now that we could find a vaccine for it.
Right. Some viruses you can't.
Apparently there could be a vaccine for it, which is the first step here. So that's good. Yeah. It's good news.
Well, you'll have plenty to write about because, they're still counting votes. So, I mean, that's what they're doing. Make sure you check out Tommy at pointer.org, POYNTER. And, we were back to back. And better than ever, Tom Jones, Rick Stroud, Rick and Tom. Appreciate you, Tom. Thanks, buddy.
We should have a show after. Yeah, that'd be a good show. Rick and Tom.
Maybe do radio or something.
And Steve. Yeah.
And Steve.
Thanks.
Like Emu.
And John Gruden, man.
I tell you what, man. We need to do a show, the three of us together. And I was like, yeah, we kind of do already. You know what I mean?
Thanks, fellas.
See you. Back-to-back shows with Tom Jones. I feel like I am doing radio again. That was a lot of fun, so we'll have him on again shortly, I hope. Just remember, tomorrow we're going to have our popular mailbag segment. We'll answer all your questions 100% correctly. You just submit them. They can be about the Bucks, the Rays, the Lightning, college football, you name it, anything. We will answer it, and here's what you do to submit those questions. Just go on Twitter to us at SportsDayTV. At SportsDayTV is our Twitter handle. My Twitter is at NFL Stroud, or you can reach me online at rstroud@tampabay.com. For Steve Burstyn, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.